Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee, and to avoid the pitfalls of being robbed or worse, it is easier to go through Samaria. Jesus is tired. It is noon, and their travel most likely started early in the morning. Everyone is tired, hungry, and thirsty. The disciples go looking for food, while Jesus opts to wait for them by a water well. I'm always amazed by the humble settings in which Jesus will produce the most profound lessons. Richard Rohr writes, "The most amazing fact about Jesus, unlike almost any other religious founder, is that he found God in disorder and imperfection, and told us that we must do the same, or we would never be content on this earth." So Jesus is by the water well, and there he sees a woman who came to draw water. This means that she would have had some kind of container with which to fetch the water. He asks her, "Give me a drink." Jesus engages the woman with a simple request. To us in the 21st century, this appears to be a normal request. But to the Samaritan woman and Jesus, this was a totally different matter. We all agree that the Jews and the Samaritans were not the best of friends. They're actually enemies, quite honestly. The Samaritan woman must have been quite startled by his request. Her response is justified. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Here's an interesting fact that I found, and I quote, "A man shall not talk with a woman in the street, not even with his own wife, on account of what others may say. He that talks much with womankind brings evil upon himself. If any man gives a woman a knowledge of God's law, it is as though he had taught her lechery." I tell you, I was born at the right time. I would have been put in jail a long time, stoned out of the city. Well, an unaccompanied woman should not speak to a man. And so the exchange between Jesus and this woman raises alarms. Samaritans were deemed unclean by Jews, so the water she would provide for Jesus is unclean. This woman was not of Jesus' class, and therefore not of his status. But despite all of this, what develops is a conversation between two people. He answers her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." Growing up, and I don't know about you, I was always led to believe that the woman was promiscuous. I want to propose to you this morning that we cast a very different light on this story. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus saw right through to this woman's heart. She may not be as illicit or immoral as she is portrayed to be. What if the woman was divorced or widowed? What if she was barren and was rejected due to this? There is no mention of children. What if the man she's living with is a relative who is protecting her reputation? It is so easy to jump to assumptions. People only see one side of a story, the one we tell them or the one they see. But we are much more than a mere story. The only way we tell the full story is through developing relationships with each other, through conversations, so that the whole picture can be seen, instead of one-sided half-truths. Jesus developed a relationship with this woman, probably the longest that he's had with anyone. Perhaps he detected her brokenness the reason why she came at noon in the heat of the day, when she would avoid the busy bodies and the onlookers. The well is our modern-day water cooler, our coffee pot area, the area for gathering to hear the latest news. And don't tell me that you did not gather at the water cooler and the coffee pot area to hear, girl, did you know that so-and-so-and-so-and-so? Five husbands? So we are gathering at the water coolers today. What is our latest news? Yes. And everybody has their 2 cents to put in. Talk about half-truths. We are trying to get all the information that we can about it. But we're hearing all kinds of things. Most of the women would have gathered in the morning to catch water. This woman wanted to avoid all that, most likely because she had been the butt of rude remarks and gossip. But Paul, in the letter to Galatians, reminds us, my friends, you are spiritual. So if someone is trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path. But watch out and don't be tempted yourself. You obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand. If you think that you're better than others, when you really aren't, you are wrong. Do your own work well, and then you will have something to be proud of. But don't compare yourself with others. We each must carry our own load. If I went around the sanctuary and I wanted to get an opinion on something, I would get 40, well, there's only 20 y'all this morning. I would get just over 20 different opinions on any given subject. And we will not always agree. No two people are alike because this is the way God made us. Our role as Christians is to listen to each other without judgment. Christian unity is reached when we can acknowledge that each of us is entitled to our opinion, as troublesome as it may be. God changes hearts. We plant seeds towards a life in God's kingdom. Truthfully, I find this story quite remarkable. Here is this tired and defeated woman engaging Jesus in an intelligent conversation. She is knowledgeable about her religion. She knows there are differences between the Jews and the Samaritans. And she knows as Messiah is promised. Jesus, in turn, does not shame her, for he knows her heart. He has the appeal of seeing through to people's hearts. He quickly connects with them by being on their level, meeting them where they are. He's able to reach this tired woman because he too is tired. And to the woman, here is a man asking for her help, since he appears unable to help himself, as he's not equipped to get his own water. Sir, you have no bucket, she tells him. Many of us are tired, always tired, because we have no bucket. We go from task to task, from the cleaning to the cooking to picking up and dropping off, the doctor's appointments, meetings, jobs, and we start the day all over again. Right, Bethann? We started trying to make ends meet. The well is deep. Our wells are deep. And we stuff more and more into them each day. There are some days that we just want to throw our hands up and cry, God, are you Lord among us or not? That's what the Israelites had cried to God. And they wanted the water that Moses was providing for them. Do you see our suffering, our bent backs and our tears? I need you, Lord. And God says, yes, I am your bucket. Yes, I see you. Matthew 11:28 tells us, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The mountain that we have before us is this coronavirus. It doesn't seem anyway around it, over it, through it. It just seems like this, a mountable thing. And what are we to do? We can't carry that mountain. This lesson is very appropriate for us this morning. God, are you Lord among us or not? Do you see our suffering? We are so anxious and afraid. And God says, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. We must give this mountain to God. Regardless of how each of us views this woman, I admire her tenacity. To her, there's something different about this man. And you are greater than our ancestor Jacob? Later she said, sir, I see you are a prophet. Then Jesus offers her the living water. She's quick to ask for it to quench her problems. Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty. I have to keep coming here to draw water. Last week we heard Nicodemus confess that he knew Jesus has come from God, but he was not ready to come into the kingdom of God and questions Jesus. Here is a rich Pharisee who comes to Jesus in the cover of night so that the other Pharisees and the people do not see him talking to Jesus. And this week we have a poor, tired woman coming in the light of the noon sun. And she sees what Jesus is offering and she wants it, the living water. She got it. Nicodemus did not. It passed right over his head, for he was in darkness, spiritual darkness. We, like the Samaritan woman, have the opportunity to rid ourselves of spiritual darkness. During this conversation, a faith journey is developed. This tired woman goes from calling Jesus a Jew to Sir, then Lord, then Prophet, and finally, what he is, Messiah. It is again remarkable that Jesus in the Gospel of John would choose this mundane, ordinary woman to reveal who he truly is. I who speak to you am he. He did not reveal his identity to the religious leaders. He chose this woman. Jesus did not allow her past to interfere or hurt her future. He simply developed a conversation with her, a conversation which led to a relationship, and a relationship which led to salvation. Jesus is clear to point out to her that it does not matter where one worships, as long as one worships in truth and spirit. This woman is so pleased and so energized by all that she has learned from Jesus that she's eager to share with the village, the very people who ostracized her. The Samaritan woman abandons her water jar at the well. She no longer needed what she brought to the well. Isn't that what we want? To leave what we don't want, what we are burdened with, at the well. We want a relationship with Jesus that can transform us and others. Later in the passage, we learn then that the woman left her water jar, went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who has told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So this, when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Through this one woman, many Gentiles came to believe. Jesus gave this woman back her credibility, her identity, and her community. Can we take the lessons learned here and apply them to today? We are afraid, we're anxious, and concerned over the next couple of weeks and months. In this time of self-examination and self-reflection, strike up a conversation with Jesus. Bear your soul to him. Let him know of your anxieties and concerns. Only Jesus can provide us with spiritual nourishment where no bucket is necessary for that living water that gushes up to eternal life. We need this living water now more than ever. Feel that inexhaustible water coming over us, easing our anxiety and our fear. Feel its coolness. It is refreshing. It is invigorating. It is sweet, and it is clear. Amen.